chapter 6. Oh yeah, there goes half the audience. While they're going out, I'll wrap up a few things here. Well, all right. How you doing? Good. Just you and me and the dog, I guess. No, they're getting ready for the Christmas program, and so a lot of people are participating in that, and it's going to be a good production coming up. We've been talking about the church, and I know we've had a couple of weeks break because of other things going on, but I just want to remind us, the church is God's people. Okay, it's not the building, it's God's people. And there's several images throughout Ephesians that help us understand more of just what that means. And we started with, the church is the body of Christ. He is the head, we are his hands and feet, and we work together in unity representing Christ to the world. Okay, the church is God's temple. He wants to fill you with the Spirit and live in you. You need to be filled with the Spirit. You really do. Be filled with the Spirit. And he wants to have full access to every part of your life. That's what it means to be God's temple. He lives in us. Okay? The church is God's family. And so he is our perfect, loving Father. And we are brothers and sisters who need to put up with each other, encourage each other, and forgive each other, as we are the family of God. And then last time I talked about how the church is the bride of Christ. He loves us intensely and sacrificially. He wants us to be pure and holy, trustworthy and wise, generous and thoughtful, and ultimately honoring and submissive to him and becoming more like him, just like husbands and wives become a little more like each other over time. So are we to become more like Christ. And church, remember, we're marrying into a royal kingdom. We're part of a royal family. Now today I want to talk about the church as the army of God. And it's kind of fitting that we're on Veterans Day. But the church is the army of God. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. And if you would please stand, I'll read it, and you can follow along. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. All right, you may be seated. Church, we are the army of God. And as such, we need to understand that we have a real enemy. A real enemy. There really is one, okay? Here it talks about the devil, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And it's important for us to understand that as an army, our enemy is not flesh and blood. Real important for us to get that. It's so easily, especially in America where everything is so politicized, to kind of make targets of other people. But in the scripture, It's not other people who are the enemy. It's spiritual forces of evil who are the enemy. That's who it is. And the scripture talks a little bit about our enemy. Let me just give you a variety of references here. In John 8:44, it says our enemy is a murderer, and he's the father of all lies. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, he is the god of this age who blinds people's minds to the truth. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, he is a tormentor. In 1 Thessalonians 3:5, he is a tempter. In 1 Peter 5:8, he's a roaring lion looking to devour. In Revelation 9:11, he is Apollyon, which means the destroyer. In Revelation 12:3, he's the great dragon who pursues and devours. And in Revelation 12:9, he is Satan who leads the whole world astray. And then finally, in Revelation 12:10, he's the accuser of the brothers. So you get an idea of who our enemy is. He's a liar. He's a tempter. He's an accuser. That's who he is. And here it says that we take our stand against his schemes. And 1 Timothy 3:7 mentions the trap of the devil. So he's got schemes and traps. In fact, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says we are not unaware of his schemes. If you read the scripture and you see these descriptions of the enemy, then you are aware of how he works. And you're better prepared to stand against him. So let's talk about his traps and his schemes a little bit. I call these the devil's devices. You've probably heard some of these before. He uses deception, division, distraction, doubt, and discouragement. Those are all tactics of the enemy. They're traps of the enemy. Ultimately, he wants to destroy us. You know, the devil is not your friend. He hates you. He only pretends to be your friend with those fancy temptations he brings your way. He's really your enemy. He wants to ruin you. And remember, we're the body of Christ. And so the devil wants to disable us. And we're the temple of God, and so he wants to desecrate us. We're the family of God, and he wants to divide us. We're the bride of Christ, and so he wants to debase us. And as the army of God, he wants to disarm us. What better way to defeat an enemy than to take away all their weapons? Disarm us. And all these things are traps and schemes of the enemy. When we're discouraged, ultimately, the enemy wants us to be discouraged. I know life circumstances can be discouraging sometimes, but it's the enemy who will capitalize on those moments and try to keep you in discouragement. That's what he does. When we're deceived, it's the enemy. When we are divided, it's the enemy. You know, when we are at odds with other people, it's actually part of the enemy's strategy. He wants that. An army is strong when we're together, not when we're out there all by ourselves. So when we dive into desecration and debauchery, it's part of his strategy. And so don't be deceived, don't be distracted, but stand firm. There is a real enemy. Okay? But the good news is we have reliable equipment. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 talks about this. It says, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We have reliable equipment. God didn't leave us as an army unarmed and unprepared to take on the enemy. Now here in Ephesians 6, you'll see that the armor here is primarily defensive. It's for our protection so that we can stand our ground. And one of the ways we stand our ground is simply by knowing who we are in Christ. We are his body, his temple, his family, his bride. We are his army, and verse 18 says we are saints. Don't let the enemy tell you otherwise. The enemy wants to say you're nothing. You're just a failure. what the enemy wants you to believe. You've just messed everything up. But that's a lie from the enemy. Remember who you are in Christ. You're a child of the living King. You're a saint. You're the family of God. Now, we've talked before about spiritually we need to be clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. But today we need to be in our battle gear. And the writer here describes these things, and he talks about the belt of truth. Remember, Satan is a liar, but we know the truth and are not deceived. As well, we speak the truth. This is important. When we're lying, we're talking the devil's language. So we speak the truth. And so as the body of Christ, we need to have open and honest communication and be true with each other, because it's misunderstandings and it's hidden motives that disable and divide us. So let's always be truthful. Thank you. And then he talks about the righteousness. This is simply a consistent daily walk with Christ. Satan is the accuser, and he loves it when we trip up, because then he can point his finger and say, ha ha, see what you did? But if we walk in the light, we don't give him an opportunity to attack. You know, there are some predators that only hunt at night. In church, we need to walk in the light, in righteousness. And this kind of living guards our heart. It's the breastplate of righteousness when we live godly lives. In Ephesians chapter 5, it takes it even a little step further. It says, among you there must not be even a hint, not even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or greed, because those are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Catch all that? Not even a hint of those things. And then no obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. That's kind of hard. I don't know about you, but I kind of like to joke around. You know what I mean? I do. But there's a caution there of just how far can you go with your joking around. According to Scripture, you got to be careful with that. I don't think it prohibits joking around, okay? But just how far do you go with it? And obscenity is becoming so common in our society, it's like people are trying to impress you with their foul language. The Bible says that's out of place for Christians. You shouldn't talk like that. Not even a hint. So let's be righteous. As the temple of God, immorality and impurity will bring desecration, and it disrupts our fellowship with God when we're not walking in the light, when we're not living a righteous life. That affects our relationship with God. So let's walk consistently with God. And then he talks about peace on our feet. Christ gives us peace with God, and he gives us peace with each other. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 says that we should make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Peace isn't easy, is it? I mean, there's been wars going on for forever, because people have a hard time living at peace with each other. But he calls us as believers to live a life of peace, particularly with each other. Peaceful with each other. When we walk in the way of peace, Satan can't reach us. As a family of God, it's when there's strife and when we're not living peacefully together that we become divided. And of course, when you're divided, you're a much easier target for the enemy. So let's keep the unity and let's be at peace. Then he talks about the shield of faith. We have a confident hope in the reality and power of God. It's not just wishful thinking. but we have faith in Jesus. And remember in the Garden of Eden, when the enemy came on the scene, what was his first ploy? To cast doubt. He said, did God really say you shouldn't eat from that tree? And so he wants us to break away and not trust God. But this trust actually has the power to extinguish the doubts that the enemy casts on us. He wants us to doubt all the time. Is this stuff really real? Is God really real? Does God really care? But when we have faith and we fill ourselves with God's word, it strengthens our faith and we remember who God is and we stand strong and the enemy can't get a foothold with his doubt. Now, faith can also mean faithfulness. We know it's a highly treasured characteristic that God looks for, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. And as the bride of Christ, it's when we're unfaithful and indulging in sinful behavior that we become debased and degraded. But Christ is looking for a bride or a church without spot or wrinkle. So let's be faithful to him, trusting him and faithful to him. And then there's the helmet of salvation. This helmet is the mind that's focused on our ultimate salvation when Christ returns. Now, I've said this before. I believe scripturally we talk about salvation, and if you have come to Christ and put your faith in him, you have been saved. Okay? But then there's a process of becoming more like Christ, so you are also being saved. But then one day, Christ will return and take us into glory, and we will be saved. And so it's you have been, you are being, and you will be saved. And this helmet of salvation is kind of a reminder that there's more yet to come. We keep our minds focused on him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And then it says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Church, we need to be remembering that Jesus is coming soon. And for a believer, that's a good thing. For an unbeliever, it's kind of a scary thing. I get that. But if you're a believer, that's a great thing. Jesus is coming to save the day. And when we keep that hope, that helmet of salvation, it strengthens us in our walk. We take our eyes off the goal and we don't really believe in the victory that he's given us, then the enemy is working to disarm us. So let's keep our eyes on the end goal. Christ is coming soon. The victory is his and ours with him. And then we come to the Word of God. This is part of our armor. In fact, it's the one offensive weapon in here. His Word drives the enemy back. In Revelation 12, verse 11, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. In John chapter 18, when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, he spoke and they drew back and fell to the ground. His word drives the enemy back. In Hebrews 4, 12, it says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's word is an effective weapon against the enemy. We need to know the word of God. We need to speak the word of God. When the devil came on the scene and tempted Jesus out in the wilderness, what did he do? He quoted the word. And he had the power in himself just to simply rebuke the enemy, but he chose to quote the word. That sets us a powerful example. When the enemy comes against you, you need to throw the word at him. In fact, all of this armor is related to your Bible. So read your Bible. John 17:17 says the word is truth. That's that's one of our pieces of armor. 2 Timothy 3:16 says Scripture trains us in righteousness, and that's part of our armor. Right here it says that readiness comes from the gospel, or peace comes from the gospel. Romans 10:17 says faith comes from the word, and Romans 1:16 says the gospel is power for salvation. So all these pieces of armor stem from the word of God. You need to read your Bible. I know I've been saying this for a while this year, but dust it off. Read it. Also, all of this powerful armor relates to Jesus. So we need to draw near to Jesus. In John 14:6, it says that he is the truth. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that through him we become righteous. Ephesians 2:14 says we have peace through Christ. Hebrews 12:2 says he is the perfecter of our faith. Acts 4:12 says salvation is found in Christ. And Revelation 1:16 shows us a sword coming out of his mouth. So all of these pieces of armor are related to the word, and they're related to Christ. So you need to read the word, and you need to draw closer to Jesus. That's how you get armed for the battle. We have reliable equipment that the Lord has provided us, but so often we're not suited up. We're walking around without our armor. Now, there's a few of you here who have been out on the battlefield. Is that a good idea? To be walking around out there without your armor on? Easy target. You're just asking for trouble. And then, here in the scripture, it actually goes even a step further. And it talks about the power of the Spirit. We have a real enemy, but we have reliable equipment, and we have reachable energy to face the enemy. Here in verse 18, it says we should pray in the Spirit. Okay, so the apostle here, he's taking it up a notch. He's saying not only do you have armor, but it's like Iron Man armor. It's supercharged. Okay? Jude 20 says, build yourself up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Acts 6:4 says, actually let me give you a little background. In Acts chapter 6, the apostles were recruiting some guys to do kind of the day-to-day stuff, and then it says, and then we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. In other words, they were saying, you know, prayer and the ministry of the word is so important that we need some other people who will do all the day-in, day-out stuff. And church, we need to remember the power of prayer. When we pray, particularly when we pray in the Spirit, we receive a supernatural power to stand against the enemy. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So like I say, we have power armor. Not just any armor, but power armor. Mark 14:38, Jesus said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. We're supposed to be alert and keep on praying. And that's where our energy or our power comes from. The Holy Spirit empowers us. Now, I don't know if you noticed all the letter A's in this text. I wonder if it's God's clever way of showing us the priority of prayer here. He says, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayer requests, always. On all occasions means anytime, anywhere, always ready to pray. Did you know you can talk to God anywhere, anytime? You can. And then it says with all kinds of prayers and requests. That's publicly, privately, leave nothing untried. Pray for yourself. Ask a friend to pray. Ask the elders to pray. Just keep on praying. And the idea of a request here is to ask with urgency. Okay? And then it says, be alert. Always be alert to the enemy's opposition. Okay? He's going to tempt you. He's going to discourage you. He's going to try to divide us. So be alert to that. And also be alert to evangelistic opportunities. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's moving and wants you to do something. You need to be alert so you can be on the same page as him. And this literally means don't be sleeping. Anybody sleeping out there? Ha! Don't be sleeping. In 1 Samuel 26, Saul was asleep when his spear and water jug were taken. In Judges chapter 16, Samson was asleep when his hair was cut, and then his strength departed. See how important it is to stay alert? Don't be sleeping. Stay alert. Of course, I'm talking spiritually. Of course, you need some sleep. But spiritually, stay alert. And then it says, always keep on praying. We should pray with perseverance. Don't give up praying. In Luke 18, Jesus told the parable of the persistent widow to show us that we should pray and not give up. Don't give up. Prayer is where our strength comes from. And if your prayer isn't answered right away, then keep on praying. And that's not a lack of faith, but it actually reveals your belief that God will answer your prayer. I'm not giving up. And even if he doesn't answer in the way you wish, prayer will build your faith to keep on trusting him anyway. So always keep on praying. And then it says we should pray for all the saints. That's you and me, church. We should be praying for each other. We need each other's prayer, and even more as the end draws near. Jesus said we would face persecution and trouble, and so we're going to need to be able to pray for each other and encourage each other and stand together. Our strength comes from him, so let's keep on praying. Church, we're the army of God. We know our enemy. We're equipped for battle, and we're empowered by the Holy Spirit through prayer. That's who we are. Forget it. It's so easy for us. Oh, man. And, you know, I love being an American. I do. I really do. But there's a lot about our society that doesn't line up with God. Sorry to say. It's so easy to be distracted by other things, and get off course, and be divided, and walk into all kinds of junk in our society. But we need to remember who we are. We're the army of God. There really is an enemy that wants to ruin us. You've probably heard this before, but as I say, there are some things worth repeating. Here it is. I'm a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I've been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I'm a volunteer in this army, and I'm enlisted for eternity. I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I'm there. If he needs me to teach the children, work with the youth, help adults, or just sit and learn, he can use me because I'm there. I'm a soldier. Listen to this. I'm a soldier. I'm not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I'm a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier. I'm not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am completely committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still come out ahead. I will win. My God has and will continue to supply all of my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I'm a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from this battlefield, he will promote me to captain and then allow me to rule with him. I'm a soldier in the army of God, and I'm marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I'm a soldier marching heaven bound. Here I stand. Will you stand with me? Will you be a soldier in God's kingdom? And as I read through that, I know it's kind of a clever way of saying a variety of things, but I've been walking with the Lord for a long time, and I've faced almost everything in that list at one time or another. And yet, here I stand. And just like in the battlefield, there are setbacks from time to time, but I am not giving up. I will not be defeated. I will stand strong in the Lord, and I will move forward with God, because I'm a soldier in God's army. The setbacks aren't going to hold me back forever. That's only temporary. And then I move on. I'm a soldier. How about you? Will you be a soldier? All right. We're going to close here in a minute, and I want to open up the altar for people who need prayer. I think there's a couple things going on. Some perhaps been wrestling with the enemy, and to be quite honest, you haven't been taking it serious enough. Temptations and distractions are real weapons the enemy uses. So it's time to suit up. Be truthful. Be righteous. Be trustworthy. Read your Bible. Pray. Quit messing around and suit up for the battle. Resist the enemy, the scripture says, and he will flee from you. Now for others, perhaps you've been battling with the enemy and you're growing weary. You're in one of those times where you feel like the enemy's kind of set you back a bit. Whether it's division, deception, doubt, discouragement, whatever it is, you've been struggling. If you're feeling overwhelmed, perhaps the enemy seems like he's got the upper hand on you right now. I want to pray with you, because God doesn't want you to stay in that position of feeling like the enemy is beating you up. You don't have to be defeated. You can stand strong and overcome the enemy. So I'm gonna pray just a kind of a closing prayer. Then if you want prayer, come forward and some others will join me and we'll pray together. Let's be the army of God. Let's walk in victory. Amen? All right, let's pray. God, I thank you for your word, the truth of your word that we so need to remember. We need to remember who we are. We need to know who the enemy is, and we need to stand our ground. In fact, we need to do more than stand. We need to advance the kingdom of God. So Lord, help us to walk faithfully with you. Help us to be wearing our spiritual armor. Help us to be ready for anything the enemy sends our way. And help us to walk in victory. We know it comes by your power, so we look to you for strength today. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God's blessings on you. have a great week. If you would like special prayer, join me here at the front.